From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo groundbreaking of the National Football Training Center at IKN. UN General Assembly and Indonesia share strategies for rehabilitation of the ex-terrorist. And now the news in details. Indonesia has many international standard stadiums but does not yet have a centralized and integrated training ground. Therefore, a national training center for Indonesian football is now being built. This was expressed by President Joko Widodo in his speech at the groundbreaking of the National Training Center in the capital of the archipelago in East Kalimantan Province on Friday. This was broadcast via YouTube. The president also explained that 34.5-hectare training center is built in integration with the development of the archipelago capital city. At this location, 8 football fields and other supporting facilities will be built with the construction of this soccer training center. President Joko Widodo is optimistic that the Indonesian soccer team will be available to become champions even at the world level.
I'm sure that Indonesian football, with the existence of this national training center, if supported by good management, adequate facilities and infrastructure, as well as the great love of the Indonesian people for football, I'm sure and optimistic it will be able to bring and witness our Garuda, our national team, not only champion in the Southeast Asia, but also world winners.
President Joko Widodo further explained that the National Training Center is not only a training center, but also an innovation center with the development of Indonesian football and facilities, research and testing of the latest technology in the sport of football. He thanked for the World Football Federation FIFA, which provides assistance worth 5 billion rupiah to the Indonesian Football Association and support from the Ministry of Finance worth 95 billion rupiah for the construction of the training center. At the groundbreaking of the training center, FIFA Regional Director Asia Oceania Sanjin Balasingham and Chairman of PSSI Erick Thohir were also present. The next news, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi shared the country's experience in rehabilitating and reintegrating former terrorists at the 13th Ministerial Plenary Meeting of the Global Counterterrorism Forum on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly's High Level Week in New York, United States on Wednesday. The GCTF is an international forum for global cooperation and information sharing on counterterrorism and violent extremism issues. Retno attended the forum as the co-chair of the Countering Violent Extremism Working Group. The position has been held since 2017 Alongside Australia in her speech, Minister Retno said the global threat of terrorism continues to grow and evolve, such as the use of online propaganda and including drones and AI. Over the past 5 years, she also said the number of deaths from terrorism has also increased. She also remarked that for Indonesia, rehabilitation and reintegration must encompass all aspects, not only for former terrorist prisoners, but it should also strengthen the resilience of the communities and environment. The third news. Political party elites have revived the idea of forming a Big Ten coalition in order to have a two-horse race in the upcoming presidential election after the poll organized officially moved the registration deadline from late November to late October. The proposal to have only two pairs of candidates contesting the February 14th election, which would be intended to save the country from having to hold a costly runoff election, had appeared dead after the pro-government parties, particularly the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle and the Gerindra Party, failed to agree on which party would get the presidential slot on the ticket. The PDIP Ganjar Pranowo or Gerindra's Prabowo Subianto, the idea has now been revived after the General Election Commission officially moved the deadline for presidential election registration from November 25th to October 25th, forcing Prabowo's Indonesia Onward Coalition and Ganjar's PDIP-led Electoral Alliance to scramble to find running mates for their presumptive presidential nominees. The fourth news. The Denpasar Immigration Office in Bali deported two Russian nationals on Thursday. One of them was arrested for the possession of sharp weapons and a tear gas canister and overstaying in Bali for more than 2 years. Head of Denpasar Immigration, Teddy Riyandi, informed on Thursday that Denpasar Immigration, along with the Strategic Intelligence Agency and the National Intelligence Agency, arrested a Russian national identified as Maxim Zhilsov at a Villa Ubud, Gianyar District, Bali on September 14, 2023. Both are subject to Law No. 6 of 2011 concerning immigration since they are considered to have endangered security and fail to respect Indonesian legal regulation. The fifth news. The economic impact of monetary policy tightening the Philippine Central Bank will have a long lag and be felt into next year. Banco Central Filipinas government Eli Remolona said on Friday, the BSP kept its key interest rate steady for a fourth straight policy meeting on Thursday, while signaling its readiness to assume tightening monetary policy at its next meeting in November if inflation pressures persist. The Philippine economy grew at its slowest pace in nearly 12 years in the second quarter as high inflation and a series of interest rates hikes hurt customers' demand. The sixth news. Hydropower generation in Asia has plunged at the fastest rate in decades amid sharp declines in China and India. Data shows forcing power regulators battling volatile electricity demands and erratic weather to rely more on fossil fuels. The two countries, which account for about 3 or 4 of Asia's power generation and most of its emission, are also to a lesser extent using renewables to make up for extent, which account for 0.4 of Asia's power generation and most of its emission are also to a lesser extent using renewables to make up for the hydropower shortfall and address rising electricity use. Major Asian economies have faced power shortages in recent years due to extreme weather conditions, including intense heat and lower rainfall over large swaths of northern China and Vietnam, as well as in India's east and the north. And the final news. South Korea defeated Thailand 4-0 on Thursday in the men's football competition of the ASEAN Games in China to advance to the knockout stage. The national team, led by coach Hwang Soon-hong, beat Thailand in the second Group E match at Jinhua Sports Center Stadium in Jinhua, scoring all four goals in the first half. Midfielder Hong Hyung-suk scored the opener in the 15th minute, and An Jae-jin netted another 5 minutes later, with Won-sang and Lee Jae-ik later, with them each scoring one before the halftime whistle after a 9-0 demolition of Kuwait in the first group match on Tuesday. Team Korea sits on two wins to secure an early ticket to the round of 16 regardless of the results of the third and final group match with Bahrain on Sunday. And that was the news.
This commentary is on UN Security Council reform. Calls to reform the UN Security Council are emerging again at the opening of the United Nations General Assembly session on Tuesday, September the 19th. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres expressed the need to reform the UN Security Council to reflect the realities of today's world. Guterres said, "There were many competing interests and agendas regarding UN Security Council reform. According to him, the alternative is reform, not the status quo. The alternative to reform is further fragmentation, so the choice is reform or division." Support for the UN Security Council reform also came from German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. In the general debate session of the UN General Assembly in New York Tuesday, Scholz stated that Germany supports reform of the UN Security Council in accordance with current global conditions and challenges. According to him, the current composition of the Security Council is the clearest example that the organization does not represent the reality of multiple worlds. He said Africa deserves greater representation, as did Asia and Latin America. The UN Security Council was formed in 1945 after World War II and consists of 15 countries. Five of the countries are permanent members, categorized as winners of the war, namely the United States, England, France, China, and Russia. They have greater authority, such as the right of veto, which allows them to prevent or cancel the adoption of Security Council resolutions. Meanwhile, 10 other countries are rotating or non-permanent members. Non-permanent members have a 2-year membership period. Reforming the UN Security Council is a discourse that has been going on for quite some time. There are many countries that support and even urge reform, one of which is Russia. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said last July that the UN Security Council must be reformed in accordance with existing realities. According to him, the dominance of Western countries in this body must be balanced. Lavrov stated that Moscow would work to expand UN Security Council membership to provide more representation to Asian, African, and Latin American countries. Previously, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan at the 75th UN General Assembly in September 2020 said there was an urgent need to implement comprehensive and important reforms for the United Nations, starting with the restructuring of the United Nations Security Council. According to Erdogan, the fate of humanity cannot be left to the mercy of a number of countries. Reform of the UN Security Council is also an issue of concern to the Indonesian government. President Joko Widodo, in his speech at the opening of the 60th anniversary of the Asia-Africa Conference in Jakarta in April 2015, already emphasized the need for Asian and African countries to continue to push for the UN Security Council reform process. One of the documents resulting from the meeting, the Declaration on Reinvigorating the New Asian-African Strategic Partnership, also contains references to the importance of increasing the number of UN Security Council members from Asia and Africa as part of the UN Security Council reform process. Seeing the development of discussion in international and regional forums, it is appropriate to reform the UN Security Council. Isn't change for the better for a peaceful and prosperous world a shared dream? That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with September 22, 1955, about Bayangkara Traffic Police Day. Every September 22, Indonesia commemorates Bayangkara Traffic Police Day. The commemoration of Bayangkara Traffic Police Day was based on the formation of the Indonesian Police Road Traffic Section on September 22, 1955. It was to regulate road traffic for the first time under the Chief of the State Police. Traffic police first appeared during the Dutch colonial era. At that time, motorized vehicle traffic activities began to emerge in Indonesia so that the Dutch East Indies government began to feel the need to regulate their use. The regulations were issued for the first time on November 11, 1899, and were declared effective on January 1, 1900. Let's move to 2011 about the first World Rhino Day. World Rhino Day is commemorated on September 22nd every year. It was first commemorated in 2011 with the aim of raising collective awareness to end the practice of hunting certain critically endangered rhino species and to conserve them. For years, rhinos have been hunted for their horns and blood for use in medicine. Every day, around 3 rhinos are killed and hunted for their horns. Due to poaching, rhino species throughout the world are threatened and on the verge of extinction. Rhino population in the world now is estimated at over 26,000, while the Indonesian Javan rhino 77 and Sumatran rhinos 34 to 47. World Rhino Day is a momentum for all parties to fight the rhino horn trade and conserve this large mammal. We end today in history with the World Motor Vehicle Free Day. World Car Free Day is commemorated globally on September 22nd. This day aims to encourage motorists around the world to stop using motorized vehicles and seek more environmentally friendly alternatives. Indonesia also commemorates September 22nd as Car Free Day. If several European countries started earlier in the 1990s, Indonesia only held the first Car Free Day activities in 2007. In September 2007, Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, held its first Car Free Day that closed the main avenue of the city from cars and invited local pedestrians to exercise and having their activities on the streets that were normally full of cars and traffic. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Aku jatuh cinta untuk kesekian kali. Baru kali ini ku rasakan
cinta sesungguhnya tak seperti dulu. Ada pengorbanan.
Cinta bukan sekedar kata, kata indah. Cinta bukan sekedar
thank you.
yang menutupi pandangan kaumu.
Cinta bukan sekedar kata-kata indah. Cinta bukan sekedar
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia's sense of first well traceable use cooking oil export to US. The Industry Ministry sent off 200 metric tons of well-traceable used cooking oil to the U.S. with the Used Cooking Oil Information System basis. The export send-off was held offline and online in three different locations, namely Indonesian Industry Ministry Office in Jakarta, CV Arta Metro Oil Warehouse in Tangerang, Banten, and Verifluxx Office House in Houston, Texas, USA on Thursday. This commodity will be used as green fuels, including sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, and hydro-treated vegetable oil, HVO, or green diesel. Quoted from Antara News Agency Director General for Agro-Industry, Putu Juli Ardika sent off the export online from the Indonesian Industry Ministry office in Jakarta on Thursday. In his remarks, he said that traceability is very popular in the green fuel industry and has been a requirement in the European Union and US market. According to Putu Juli, this first export is the first step to use technology and open the traceability of used cooking oil. Putu Juli further explained that green fuel from traceable used cooking oil has a very low net carbon emission based on the circular economy principle implementation, namely from waste to energy. The traceability is now a requirement because the buyers need the guarantee of the used cooking oil origin, which must come from the used cooking oil production spot instead of from fresh oil or their oils and or from illegal used cooking oil sources. Further, Putu also expressed the full support of the Industry Ministry of the Indonesian Used Cooking Oil Exporter Association, AEMJI, in developing the Used Cooking Oil Information System platform, which aims to improve the accessibility of used cooking oil at export destination countries, particularly in the US. He also said that the government is expecting the used cooking oil information system implementation will spread to some used cooking oil collecting companies so that it can add more value of the digital platform database used cooking oil from Indonesia. He hoped that the used cooking oil information system would be an icon in the digital platform based advanced logistic implementation in local, regional, and global scales. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sudah tertulis begitu indah sepanjang rekah cerita kau tak bukan.
yang meradang di hayalanku. Dan biar selalu tentang bahagia adalah ketika di palung hatimu terukir ribuan alasan untuk mencintai diriku dan mengarungi dirimu. Ternyata tak begitu indah mencintai. Kau tak luka rindu yang meradang di hayalanku. Mencintai diriku dan mengarungi dirinya. Ternyata tak begitu indah mencintai.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. VOI listener, last September 16, Museum Islam Nusantara was launched by the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandi Uno, in Jami Lasem Mosque, Lasem Regency, Rembang, Central Java. Sandiaga Uno appreciates all the parties that are involved in the Museum Islam Nusantara project. According to Sandiaga Uno, besides being a place for Islamic historical heritage, this museum is also proof of the acculturation of the people in Lasem district who live side by side in harmony. The diversity of people that consists of Javanese, Chinese, and Arab ethnic. The unique thing from Museum Islam Nusantara is on the building form that resembles Gadang House from West Sumatra that has a touch of Javanese traditional house. What's more unique, this museum is built in the Chinatown area. Listener, Museum Islam Nusantara itself consists of three floors. The first one contains archives and historical objects. On the second floor, there is a complete history series with important figures varying from Wali Songo to the fourth president of the Republic of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid. Additionally, there is the legendary Lasem Rembang Islamic Scholar biography. They are Sayyid Abdurrahman, better known as Mbah Sambu, that died in 1671 AD, and Kiai Haji Bisri Mustafa. Lastly, on the third floor, there are 30 juz or verses or Quran calligraphy ornaments carved on thick wood, both manually and using machines. By traveling to Museum Islam Nusantara, you can see ancient household furniture artifacts such as pottery, teapots, and several ancient manuscripts in Arabic script which are allegedly being recognized as Mbah Sambu legacy, including the ancient mustaka or roof tip of the Jami Lasem Mosque is also kept in this museum. Another interesting thing that you can see in this museum is the giant Al-Quran made from wooden slabs, engraved with verses from the Quran 23 juz. Well, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Sesaat saja tak kau izinkan untuk buktikan semua pasti berubah. Andai saja ada kesempatan kau berikan, kita masih bersama.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
In today's Miscellany, the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, along with an archive NGO Irama Nusantara, held a musical archive exhibition entitled Dari Ngak Ngik Ngok Ke Dek Dek Plus. The exhibition was held at the National Awakening Museum in Jakarta from September 16 until October 15, 2023. Cinema, Music and Media Director Ahmad Mahendra said that the event showcases classic and antique collection while aiming to educate the people about the history of popular music development in Indonesia. The exhibition showcased the development of popular music in Indonesia from pre-1960s until 1969. The exhibition material was developed from the book Dari Ngak Ngik Ngok Ke Dek Dek Plus, which was released by Irama Nusantara along with Bintara Press and Norm in 2021. The whole exhibition material was presented contemporarily via mural, audiovisual, and original physical collections. The exhibition was divided into three zones. The first show is the development of the popular music industry in Indonesia. The second zone is during the old order. And the last one is during the new order. In this exhibition, visitors may find rare and historical collections such as the picture of Dutch Indies musician, a musical release of one of the first labels in Indonesia, Tio Tek Hong, the Indonesian About Indonesia Raya. The Indonesian national anthem was recorded for the first time and the documentation of the Beatles' vinyl record burning in Jakarta 1965 because of the ban on Western music by the old order. The recorded speech on Indonesian political manifesto by Bung Karno in 1959, which brought the term Ngak Ngik Ngok. Besides, the visitors can watch movies from the 1960s. And that's Miscellany.
Yang lalu biar berlalu. tidak menghasut telah menjadi ramuan. Empat laun dia runtuh, semakin aku jadi parutan. Hidup hanya sekali saja, mungkin lagi tapi wujud berbeda. Maka jangan hiraukan kesempatan, tutup telinga dari kata
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a traditional song that comes from Kepulauan Bangka Belitung called Labrage. The song Labrage, created by Sofwan Aer, tells about the traditions of dying together that has become characteristic of the Belitung people. The lyrics of the song is an invitation to dying together. The dishes are arranged in the big round tray, and the people are sitting together on the floor, or lesehan, on a mat made of pandan leaves to enjoy their meals. Berage means a celebration to enjoy the abundance of good fortune. With berage, fatigue disappears, and it is replaced by joy. Okay, listeners, let's listen to berage sung by Guntur.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.